In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. There are a lot of great things about being a seminary professor, and I, for one, do not often wax nostalgic about my days in the parish. I enjoy what I do, and I'm grateful to God for His giving me the opportunity to do that here in this place. But if someone were to ask me if there is anything that I miss about being a parish pastor, I would have to answer honestly that yes, there is at least one thing that I miss, and that is preaching on the great festivals of the church year, especially on Easter. For there is nothing more exhilarating than holding forth on the great truths of Jesus Christ crucified and risen again to a church that's packed full of worshipers. I'm sure that all of you were in church on Sunday, and you know what I mean. The choirs, the music, the hymns and the singing, the alleluias bursting forth once again after so many weeks of silence, filling the sanctuary with sound, and then the word, that great gospel word, He is not here, He is risen from the dead. That's the word that's a rock bottom foundation of our faith. And what a glorious day, and to my mind, that's the greatest day in the entire church year, and then to preach to your people on that theme, on that day, well, there's really nothing like it in all of the ministry. And I think it's a special privilege of pastors that they can enter the pulpits on Easter. As far as professors are concerned, well, we get the Tuesday after Easter. And it's not quite the same, let me tell you. Now, mind you, I'm really not complaining. The echoes of Easter still resound in our church, our chapel, the hymns, the prayers, the vestments, everything. The scripture readings, well, they all remind us that we are in the Easter season of the church year, and so in a sense, the holiday does keep going. But in so many other ways, I'm afraid, it looks as if the holiday truly was over. It's back to work. It's back to school. It's back home. The great day now reduced to some old candy or some holiday dinner leftovers, a few colored eggs maybe, an empty basket or two. All too quickly, I think, things get back to normal. Now, on Sunday, down at St. Paul's, where my family and I worship regularly, one of the pastors, Pastor Hamer, used an image that I think fits perfectly what some of us feel in the wake of the great holiday. Because he talked about rolling back the stone to recover the grave of Jesus. I think that's a striking picture and one worth thinking about. Easter comes. The stone is rolled back. Christ arises. Everybody is excited. Everybody is glad. And then, when the day is done, we all yawn, ho-hum, and roll back the stone. So by Tuesday, at the latest, everything is back to normal. Now, why is this? Why is it so difficult, indeed impossible, to capture for good what we all feel on Easter morning? Well, I suppose that the easiest answer to that is the fact that we cannot always live on an emotional high. Without valleys, there are no peaks. And the rhythm of the church year fits our experience of life, or what ought to be our experience, the kind of cycle of repentance and renewal, dead in sin but alive in Christ. The cycle of the seasons reminds us of our ongoing spiritual condition. We need Advent to appreciate Christmas. We need Lent to appreciate Easter. We need post-Easter to appreciate, I'm not sure if it works, but I think you get the idea of what I'm driving at. We can't celebrate all the time, but if we do celebrate once a year, then we'll make sure that we really celebrate Easter. Well, that's one explanation. It's kind of the way human beings are. But I think there's more to it as well. And I think it has to do a little bit with how we preach Easter, and maybe a lot to do with how we believe Easter. Now, what do I mean by how it is that we preach Easter? Well, for one thing, Easter is not just for funerals. Now, don't get me wrong. When I'm on my deathbed, I want to hear Easter. When I'm mourning a loved one, I want to hear Easter. Indeed, the older I get, the more aware of my own bodily infirmities I become, and the more I need to hear Easter to calm my fears, my worries, my concerns right now. So don't get me wrong. At the heart of Easter, there is the conquest of death. At the heart of Easter, there is the resurrection of the body for you and for me at the end of time. But Easter also has significance for us right now. Not just once a day, or once a year, I should say, but every day. Now notice how our Lord proved himself alive to his disciples in this morning's reading. He shows them his flesh and his bones, and then he eats a little broiled fish. Of course, this was a powerful demonstration of the reality of resurrection. As he said, ghosts don't have bodies. Jesus was alive. But do you know who else has a body, flesh, and bones? We do. And occasionally, we eat a little fish and a few other things as well. But now here is our risen Lord doing the same thing. And he's doing it with his resurrected body, joining himself to our own still mortal bodies. And in a very real sense, therefore, by this is kind of witness and testimony, the resurrected Christ continues to sanctify earthly existence, bodies like ours, everyday activities like ours, even eating and drinking. Easter truths, therefore, do not apply only to death and dying, though they certainly apply there, but they also apply during life as well. Not only when I'm about to leave this life, but also when I am in the midst of it, right here, right now, the humdrum, the ordinary, not Easter Sunday, but 2 days later. For in my baptism, the resurrected Christ joined himself to me, not just to guarantee my future, though he does do that, but also to sanctify my present. That's where I live, right here and now. To strengthen me in weakness, to comfort me in sorrow, to forgive me in my sinfulness, and even to make my life right here and now a life for him right here and now. Now, I don't always see this. When I preach Easter, I can see it. But I don't get that chance anymore. My life, your life, it's really quite ordinary. It's making a living. It's going to school. It's being a husband, a father. It's teaching. It's correcting papers. It's writing papers. It's all pretty routine. But since the Easter grave remains open, and I cannot roll back the stone, Christ, who is alive, continues to stand before me in his word, in his sacrament, and there identifies himself with me and with you to make our work, our life, a service to him and to his church, which he calls his body. What a difference, then, Easter makes to all of the people of God, to each and every one of us, every day, not just once a year, every day, not just on the day of our dying. The normal, the humdrum, the routine now have an eternal significance as service to Christ, service of Christ, our God and our Lord. But you know what? we have a hard time believing that. That's the real problem. In our minds, our hearts, our lives, we really are too ready to roll back that stone, even if in reality we cannot. But Christ is alive, and our Easter celebration will not let us forget it. Christ is alive. He came out of the grave, and the disciples saw him. He had a real body, and he ate a little broiled fish. And because that is true, there is a remedy for our unbelief in repentance and faith, to make them also a part of our routine, to hear the word that is solely and truly about our Lord, and to believe what that word says, to trust that Christ is my risen Lord and Savior, the Christ who has come and still comes to me in his word and his sacrament. Well, I may not often get a chance to preach this theme much more, at least not on Easter Sunday, but that's the message that you and I need to hear, not only on Easter, but each and every day of our lives. Jesus Christ is alive, yes, and he lives for us, for you and for me. Amen.